Hello, Christine here. When somebody retires, usually you expect them to, take up one or two different hobbies to something that they'd never really do when they're at work because they just don't have the time. I know somebody who's taken up archery, or you might even take up judo or take up painting or something like that. But I'm sitting with Dave Lees, and Dave, can you just tell us what it is that you've taken up in your retirement?
I've got a berth on Clipper Ventures round the world yacht race.
And how long is this round the world yacht race going to take?
It will take us 11 months to circumnavigate.
11 months.
11 months, starting in August.
Brilliant. And what sort of experience have you got of this?
None.
So you've had to learn.
The only experience I've got of sailing is the training that Clipper have given us.
Brilliant. Oh, I think that's wonderful. And this round the world yacht race, I've got the booklet here that you've given me, and it's sponsored by, well, it started by
Robin Knox Johnson. Sir Robin Knox Johnson.
because he was the first person to sail solo, non-stop, round the world, and he wanted everybody to have the chance to do this sort of sailing, didn't he?
Yes, he has this great belief that Clipper provides the sailors of the future, not only bedrock crew like myself, but they're actually training the skippers to a very, very high level.
I think it's fantastic to be able to pass on your enthusiasm like that. In this booklet that Dave's given me to look at, Robin Knox Johnson says, "When I first had the idea of organising a non-professional row round the world yacht race more than 20 years ago, I couldn't possibly have imagined how big this event would become, or indeed how many lives it would change and how many opportunities it would create for those brave enough to rise to the challenge." Brave enough to rise to the challenge. There you go. That's
It was the challenge aspect that first interested me in. I'm not a sailor, and although I hope to gain some knowledge on sailing, principally is the challenge of going around the world with people that I do not know.
And how did you hear about this?
On television about 10 years ago, and the seed was planted then.
And did you have to wait to retirement?
I had my own business, so I had to wait for the opportunity to sell the business in order to fund the trip.
So you're funding it yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
No sponsorship at all.
Right. But the boat is sponsored, isn't it? The boat.
Some of them, some of the fleet have got commercial sponsors, and some of them have got national sponsors. Last year, the last race, which was 2 years ago, there was a boat, Jamaica Lightning Bolt. There was GB that came second, and there was Spirit of Australia who won it, and South African boat.
Now, here we are, a lad from Todd. Are you Todd born and bred?
Walsden lad, lived in Todd when I got married. Yeah,
And you've worked in Todd as well,
I
haven't
used
you?
to work at Warman. Yeah,
Yeah.
started when it was Sandor Mining Company in 1966.
So people will know your mum and dad and.
My dad was a porter at Todd Station, George Lees, and my mum was a local girl, Betsy Lees.
I bet many of our listeners will be able to remember them, yeah.
I might remember my brother who joined the Navy when he was 15, so maybe it's in the blood.
Right, but you've no experience at all. You've
No.
literally. So
No.
what are you going to get from it? What's.
I wanted to do something to mark the transition from my working career into retirement. And I just fancied the idea of doing something that I could be proud of the achievement.
Brilliant. So you're going in this boat. Can you describe the boat for me? What's it going to what?
It's a typical sailing yacht with one mast, three sails, three principal sails, and it's crewed by 20 people at any one time. We actually have 52 members of the crew. And the circumnavigation is divided into eight legs, made up of various races, and each of the boat races the other 11 yachts in the. It's called a match fleet. All the boats are absolutely identical, carry the same sail patterns, and everything about them is the same.
So the race is literally down to the crew and the best conditions that they can find.
Yes, it's down to weather routing and the crew getting the best out of the boat.
And you're amateurs. Are there any professionals at all?
One professional skipper. The remainders are all amateurs.
So the professional skipper, we hope, knows what they're doing. They'll be top notch.
I've done three weeks of my 4-week training with the different skippers, and I've found them all to be extremely professional.
Right, now I've sailed. Well, we've sailed boats up to about 40 foot,
54
foot. I think we've managed, I think the maximum speed we've managed is 12 knots, something like that, and then we're going like the clappers. But so what size boat is yours?
Yeah, the boats that we're on are 70 foot, and I think the maximum speed that they achieved on the last race was 37 knots.
Completely different league. So 70 foot's roughly what the inside ballroom, the ballroom of the town hall?
About the length of the ballroom at town hall, yeah.
But not as wide?
But not as wide.
And what sort of life will you have when you get on board the boat?
It's actually quite Spartan. There are 20 bunks. If we're on a broad reach, that means that the boat is sailing flat, then we each have our own bunk. If we're tacking into wind, then we're hot bunk. That means that when the boat's sailing at an angle of 26 degrees, everybody sleeps on the top side. So if they change tack in the middle of your off-watch period, you are expected to get out your bunk and go to the other side of the boat and get in a different bunk.
Because the weight, you need the weight.
You want the weight on the top side.
In a certain place, yeah. Now, I've heard from your wife that you're having to go and buy merino wool vests and things like that. Why?
Basically, they recommend merino wool because it doesn't smell.
Okay.
From you.
But we always have a shower every day. Go on, what's that? What's going on?
We're restricted to one shower a week, and that's a salt water shower. Okay. The rest of the time, personal hygiene is wet wipes.
And how many crew?
20.
Living in close confinement?
Very close.
Okay. I can smell it from here. Right, listeners, you're getting the, well, I'll say the savour of this, not the flavour. Right. So you said that this race had eight legs.
Eight legs. First leg is from, leaves from London, and we sail into Rio 5 weeks later.
You're following the trade winds or something,
that's
aren't
correct,
you?
That's correct, yes.
Because most of it, the race is all under sail.
All under sail. If you start your engine, you're disqualified from that race.
Right.
Unless it is an emergency and you're going to aid another vessel, or if it's a life-threatening situation. But as soon as you start the engine, you are disqualified, and you would have to put forward a case at the end of the race for why you started your engine.
So there's several races in and amongst, aren't there? There's lots of different races. When you're travelling east, because you're going sort of zigzagging across the Atlantic Ocean, aren't you?
Correct.
Down to Rio.
From Rio to Cape Town.
To Cape Town, this is in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, then we cross the Southern Ocean from Cape Town to Western Australia. That's another leg. Western Australia around to Eastern Australia. Eastern Australia via Tasmania up to, we think, Vietnam, and then on to China. So in that leg, there would be two races from, three races. Sydney Hobart, which is 3 days. Hobart up to Vietnam or Singapore. They haven't declared which port. And then from Singapore to Qingdao, China. And then from Qingdao, we sail across the Northern Pacific to San Francisco, which is America, And then we come down the east coast of America to the Panama Canal. West coast.
The west coast, of course, yes.
Navigation skills are under question. Then from the Panama Canal, we go up to New York. From New York into Canada. Canada back to Derry. Derry, we leave Derry and go around north of Scotland into Holland, and then from Holland back to London.
So it really is around the world.
It is around, and finishes at the same place.
Yeah. Now, I understand that you've got definite dates for arriving in certain ports, or departing from certain ports.
Departing, definitely. Arrival is dependent on how well you sail.
In the race.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And this departure date has to be a definite date, because some boats, you're going to go all the way around, aren't you?
That's correct. But
some people don't.
Some of the crew are made up of leggers. They might be taking the option of doing one leg or multiple legs. And each member of the crew is contracted to that berth. So if you don't go, you don't get your money back. And obviously, the boats have got to be in port on a certain date, so we can do crew changeover.
And cleaning the boat.
It's got to be cleaned.
Provisioned
and inspected before it's allowed on its next voyage.
Inspected, okay.
All the rigging's got to be inspected. And any damage that you've done on the previous race has got to be rectified.
Yeah. And I believe Sir Ben Ainslie is sponsors...
We've got an 18-year-old girl that won a scholarship from Ben Ainslie, and it was a national competition. And he was looking to sponsor a sailor that had given something into the sailing world. And this young lady has been teaching disabled children from the age of 12. And she's now 18. And she went through various interviews, and she was the one that won this sponsorship from Ben Ainslie.
Brilliant.
It's very good.
Yeah.
She's a nice girl as well.
Yeah. And apparently from your boat, if there's any extra sponsorship, the charity that it's going to.
The race is chosen charity this year is UNICEF.
Right.
So any money that we can raise that will go to UNICEF.
And they are very anxious to provide details to the media, aren't they?
Yes. And I get the feeling that if we get to a country where UNICEF are involved, they will want us to participate in anything that's going on in that country.
Right, yeah.
We may well be asked to do some sort of corporate events, take sponsors out for UNICEF for a day sailing when we get to a particular port, but I don't know those details
yet. It's fantastic. It's quite magnificent when you see a whole pile of sailing, big, huge yachts the size of the ballroom at the town hall, coming into port. Do you say there's 12 in each?
12. It's called a match fleet, so they're all identical.
All identical. Fantastic.
But we won't all arrive at the same time.
No.
Our boat will be in front, of course.
But you'll all be setting off at the same time.
We all set off at the same time.
Yeah. They've just had the three queens in Liverpool. They were on the River Mersey there in Liverpool, and that was fantastic. Right.
Liverpool did sponsor this event about 8 years ago. It left from Liverpool.
Okay.
And it's left from Hull, and it's left from Derry, Londonderry.
And where are you leaving from this time?
We're leaving from London, St Catherine's Dock.
St Catherine's Dock, London.
It left from London last time because it left in Olympic year, and I think they've gone back to London this time because it is the 10th race, so they're trying to make a big event of the 10th race.
Now, I'm going to talk to Ava, who is Mrs Lees, all right? Because Ava, you're going to actually go out to meet him, I think, aren't you?
Yes. I'm going to be flying off to Australia. We'll be in Australia for Christmas.
And you're going out with your lad, aren't you?
Yes, I'm taking my son's coming with us. We have a granddaughter in Australia who lives in Ballarat, and she will be flying up from Melbourne to Sydney to meet us there. And she'll be nine, actually, while we're there. She'll be nine. And we will stay in Sydney until David leaves for Tasmania on the 26th, which is Boxing Day. So we might be having Christmas lunch on Bondi Beach. You'd never know.
Ooh, how lovely. And then Dave's going off to do for a race, a small leg of the race.
Sydney Hobart race down to Tasmania. And then my son and granddaughter, we are going to set off in a motorhome and travel up the east coast of Australia for a while. So we're actually having a month in Australia. And then David will be carrying on going up to China.
You deserve every bit of that. You really do. I mean, it's a long time. It's 11 months.
Yes.
When you've been together for, you know... Yeah,
43 years this week.
This week? Oh, yeah. Okay, congratulations. So you're seeing... He'll have gone at the end of August.
Yeah.
So you won't see him till Christmas. And then...
After that, it'll be the middle of July next year before he gets back. So they can't actually give a date yet, but it's the middle of July when they get back. So
right, but I believe you've been teaching him stuff.
Well, oh, I have, yes.
What has he had to learn?
He's learnt how to make bread, and his bread is absolutely delicious. And he's made quite a lot of cakes, because on board ship they have to do all their own baking, cooking, cleaning, everything. But he really is a good baker.
So can he darn?
Yes, he can do that as well. Yes, yeah. But he could do that before. But it's the bread making that he's really excelled at. It's really good.
Right, and I'm going back to Dave now. Dave, on board the boat, what will you be cooking on?
We have a gas oven and four gas hobs. And the hob and the oven are on gimbals, so they try...
That means they're always level.
They're trying to be always level, yeah.
They swing, don't they?
Yeah.
It's not easy cooking on gimbals.
26 degrees, no.
No, it isn't. Particularly when you've got boiling water, you know, it's...
I have to be extremely careful, and we are expected to, if the weather is rough or the boat is on attack, we have to wear our foul weather gear in the galley. So if we spill any boiling water, it's thrown off with the wet gear, but the foul gear.
Yeah, yeah. And you've also been having to learn... Well, you've got another title, haven't you?
Yes, certain members that are going around the world have been asked by the skipper to take on an extra role. For example, one of the Australian crew members is taking on ship's bosun. Another member is taking on ship's engineer. We have members of the crew that are media-orientated. They've done that. We have a ship's victualler that will be in charge of buying all the food for around the world trip. And I, for my sins, have been asked to take on the medical duties. So I'm ship's medic.
And what does that involve?
I've been down to Gosport for some casualty training with the doctors who provide the 24-hour sat phone cover for medical emergencies.
So you could perform things if you are told how to do, do you mean, over the phone?
We've practiced suturing a pig's foot, which was good fun but a little bit smelly. We inserted cannulas into one another. We demonstrated catheters and, if I dare say it, anal rehydration in case somebody is... extremely seasick and can't take anything by mouth.
Hang on, anal rehydration.
Yeah, so I didn't know it, but apparently your body can absorb fluid through the back passage.
Oh, I'm going off this interview rapidly. But I suppose it's essential. It's the only
somebody would die,
yes.
Wouldn't they?
Yes,
they would die. Yeah. We spent a lot of time covering.
Well, hang on, how about you? Are you seasick?
I'm seasick every time.
So you're going to be a prime candidate for your own medicine?
I might have to do my own medicine, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
I'd have to build a particular friendship for somebody to pour the water in, though.
Oh, dear. Right, so do you also have to do navigation, or is that something else?
Navigation and weather routing is principally the skipper's direction, but we are encouraged to get involved in every aspect of sailing.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to need it.
No,
you,
skipper could go down at any time.
Yeah, and safety at sea, do you have to do...
We did a one-day Royal Yacht Association safety at sea course under their instruction, and we've done a safety at sea with the Royal Navy in a swimming pool where we were taught to enter life rafts, how to manoeuvre people round in the water with life jackets on, and how to get from the water into the life rafts.
Right. Now, we've heard about your merino wool vests. What other equipment do you need? I know you've bought the vest yourself, but have you had to buy a lot of different equipment?
We're only supplied by one set of foul weather gear. That's the like oilskin type things with trousers and an anorak type top. Everything else we've had to purchase ourselves. Sleeping bags are particularly expensive, and that they have to be warm when wet. So we have waterproof sleeping bags that are non-down sleeping bags. They've no feather in them at all, because when they get wet, they're not as warm as these type of sleeping bags. Like everything else, when you specialise, all the gear gets very expensive, so all types of sailing gear is very expensive. In addition to that, my wife for my birthday bought me a dry suit, which I will wear underneath my foul gear.
A dry suit means that it's just a rubber...
It's rubber sealed, and you don't. If you fall in, if you go overboard, your body doesn't get wet. It gets very cold, but it doesn't get wet. On the last race in the Southern Ocean, a guy called Andrew Taylor went overboard, and it took them an hour and 40 minutes to get him back on board. He fortunately had a dry suit on, and that saved his life.
It stops the
His life expectancy in the water, in those temperatures, was 17 minutes without a dry suit on.
Yeah. Right, now here's a lad from Todmorden, never been to sea before. Setting off from St Catherine's Dock in London.
Correct.
On the 26th, is that right?
And I join on the 26th and we sail on the 30th of
sail
August.
On the 30th, where do you sail from?
St Catherine's Dock in London.
And where does the big race start from?
It starts as we cross Southend Pier, a direct line out from Southend Pier. That's the start of the race.
Southend Pier, round the cliffs of Dover, straight out.
Straight down the channel, and straight off to Rio.
And zigzagging down the middle of the Atlantic.
Correct.
Right, so whilst we're enjoying all our September sun and September holidays, that's where you're going to be.
That's correct. Hopefully I'll be getting some sun as well on my way to Rio.
I hope you will. I think that's fantastic, Dave. Thanks very much indeed. We'll follow your progress with interest.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye from Christine. Bye-bye.